Genesis 12. The first place that Abraham came to was the place called Sychem or Sychem. It's the place of burden. It's the place where you drop your burdens of the world. This is the first place that happens in the promise. And the fact, if you don't do it, you can't stay in the promise, as evidenced by what happens next. He builds a temple. He builds an altar at a place called Sychem, and then he goes and builds another altar. And then he goes and builds another altar. And it's, if you, there is only one altar on the in the entire universe. There only ever has been one, there only ever will be one that has any importance. And that's the altar that was built by Adam, that was where Abel offered his sacrifice, where everyone is offered the only sacrifice that's important, and it's the altar that's outside of time. Now, every one of you have built an innumerable number of altars thus far in your lives. But they've been the wrong altar, the wrong place, to the wrong God. Now, even now, Abraham, we've seen all the number of altars he built to other gods, and we went through the process. Now he's in the promised land. And he's building an altar to the right God, but now he builds two altars. He goes to Sychem for a while, and he goes to Bethel, and he builds another altar. And the evidence that he built, that, watch this. Verse 6, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. We've talked, the Canaanite was the usurper, just like there's a usurper in you as the land of God. The usurper is called you and all your infinite names. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built an altar there at Sychem. And thence he removed unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded another altar unto the Lord, and he called there upon the name of the Lord. Guess what? The Lord didn't answer him at Bethel, because he continued journeying southward. He continued journeying southward. He thought the south in the scripture is always a metaphor for going towards the mysterious, going towards the mystery. North is always a metaphor for what you came from. It's the evil. That's why the attack is always from the north in the spirit. You understand? East is always the gods that you worshipped in the past. The altar, the mysterious altar, the mystical altar that exists out of time is always with you facing west. It's facing the setting sun instead of the rising sun. Why? Why is Israel the only nation in history? Why are we the only people now that began their day at sunset? Because our day, the sensory day that we've just experienced, we knew wasn't it. Every other religion is facing toward the east, signifying the rising sun and the new day, and everything's going to be good tomorrow. No, it isn't. Everything's going to be bad tomorrow. Why? We face west, the setting of the sun, knowing that we are, in effect, knowing that the darkness must come. That the sated, we must be sated. There is no future looking east. We don't need what tomorrow will bring. We've offered it all the wrong altars all our life, all these crazy ones that never go right. Well, it'll be better next time. No, it won't. It'll be worse. Well, if you just behaved yourself, then you would get it right. No, you won't.
If you just understood.
To us, to build an altar is the Hebrew word asa, which means also to understand. You build it by understanding it. But there's only one understanding. There's only one mystery. But now Abraham, in this process, he's preaching to the right God, but now his altars are moving southward.
So he understands the altar. God appears to him, and then he moves from that place.
All right. He misses the mystery. So what happens? So he goes and he builds another altar at Bethel. And then what happens? Got no fulfillment there, so what happens? He moves southward. Where is south? Going towards the mystery. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. Why? There was a famine because he left the place of the seeing of God. He thought life was somewhere else. The reason we read this, and the reason Abraham experienced this, and the reason all these things happen to all these people is as an example to you, that you might not have to make the same mistake, because God may not delay the end of time. Do you know when the plagues began in Egypt? They began when a people prayed for the end of Egypt. Do you know when the book of Revelation, the plagues and the Revelation will be here? When we see they are here. We don't have to go any place. There's only one altar. We rip through time to see it. Things aren't going to get better. Israel isn't going to become God's home. Jesus Christ isn't returning to Israel. He's returning. When he comes this time, we'll look up and we'll see him for an instant, and then time will end. In Genesis 12, we missed one point I want to show you. In the last part of verse 8, it says he called upon the name of the Lord. The word we studied last time about what it meant to call upon the name of the Lord. But by the same token, there's a deeper mystery in what... This is the first time the word Jehovah is used in the Scripture. Now listen to me. In the Middle Ages, Jehovah is the cosmic... The word Jehovah is the cosmic joke by some Jewish scribes in the 13th century. The Jewish scribes in Europe, they were trying to figure out a way to confuse the Christians, because they were in all kinds of persecution. And so the Jewish guys were trying to get back at the Christians. And so what they did is they invented this word from their language, where they weren't allowed to speak or write or pronounce the ineffable name. They invented the word Jehovah to be a word which would be like a secret code among them. They were being persecuted at this time by the Christians. This was the Inquisition, during the time of the Inquisitions. And they were being persecuted, and they wanted a way that would satisfy their form of humor to get sort of to gig these Christians. And so they invented the word Jehovah. And now there's whole denominations called Jehovah's Witnesses.
So it's sort of like Bruce.
It's Bruce. It's a good word. Bruce.
Bruce. Well, then they put, Bruce's Witness, they put letters between the vowels of
right, to make it Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Now, the closest thing we have to the word in the Hebrew that is translated here, Lord, is Yahweh. It can't be said. I mean, but it's Yahweh is the best we can pronounce it. Every time you see the word Jehovah in the Scripture, you know it's the cosmic joke. Every time you see somebody insisting on Jehovah as the name of God, or there's all kinds of weird stuff about it. you know, it's the great cosmic joke.
A little Jewish humor.
Because they wanted, they invented this word, which the Christians then called, that's what they named their, the Christians named this word their God. It's like we'd call, we'd invent a word called Bruce, and now from now on all the Baptists would worship Bruce. Sure. You see? Okay.
That's word by the Jewish lawyers walking
through the first time. But anyway, the word Yahweh means the self-existent. Now, hear me, this is really important. This is the first time philosophically that the word, that the concept of that something could be self-existent entered the human condition with Abraham. Never before in all of philosophy is anything capable of being self-existent. Now, can you begin to realize or imagine the importance of this concept?
When I think about it, my brain starts.
Okay.
Yeah, when you said, crack me up when I found out that the Greek god, you know, father of Zeus was Kronos, and the father of Kronos was probably Saturn or somebody. You know, and they were like,
right. Every one of the Greek gods was invented or created by another one. You understand that? That's true for every one of the Babylonian gods. That's true. Do you know that in the Hindu religion, there are 2 million gods? Every one of them is created by another one? I mean, you got to start. You know, in this Far Eastern religion, this New Age stuff that's coming, which is, by the way, the New Age movement, there's nothing new in it. Everything that, if anybody wants to study the New Age movement, go back and study the early writings of Adolf Hitler. The concept that Abraham brought into the world is the concept that there is possible for a being or a something to be self-existent. Now, guess what? Well, the New Testament calls you a peculiar people. That means you partake. You are the feminine side of the self-existent. You need nothing. You have no modifiers. Self-existent, in our language, is I am. You can't... To have no modifiers means that you can have no need. Anything that's modifying you, you hear me? Are you male or female? No. The New Testament says you're neither male nor female. Are you married? It says be as though you are not married. Are you a parent? Be as though you are not a parent. You are self-existent. You are the feminine side of the self-existent. Now, this concept, this being, this way of living, from now on, every time that Abraham moves until he's 100 years old and it's transferred, the metaphor, Abraham never got it right. You understand that? But he transforms, he becomes the metaphor, the picture for us. And then the picture is expanded in Isaac. It's expanded in Jacob. It's expanded in Israel until we know more and we see more and more of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, and from now on as we read about Abraham, every movement of Abraham from now on is a denial of I am. And it's done not so that it's done so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. Please, please understand me. This is not a light matter.
So once he dropped the burden and built the altar and saw God, that was it.
It was end. It was over. It was over. He was sitting in the mercy seat. It was done. It was finished. Now, tell me something that you have. Tell me something that you think is important. Tell me some need that you have that can stand up to that revelation. There are none. There is none. Everything else that you're doing is worshiping a false god. You got to hear this, and you got to understand this once and for all time, that every man in the universe is religious. They are all worshiping. Their prayers are constant. They worship. Worship simply says, all worship means is what you think is important. Every man prays. What are your prayers? Your prayers are your thoughts. You know your stupidity of your thoughts. Your thoughts are your prayers, and you're praying to the wrong God. You're worshiping to the wrong God. You're worry about tithing. Every one of you tithes. You're tithing to the wrong God. Every man in the universe tithes. Everything is in the name of the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent. If I know that by legal heritage, by a legal document, that I am part and parcel of the I am state, then everything is over. It's finished. I don't need anything else. Abraham left Sychem from where God was revealed because he got bored. Abraham got bored at Sychem because God was placing a test on him, and Abraham's little self-instant gratification needs weren't satisfied when Abraham thought they were, so he moved on instead of waiting, instead of seeing through it. And he's going to get more trouble than you ever dreamed of. He got bored, he left, and he got hungry, so he built another altar. He not only got hungry, he had upwards of 7,000, at least 7,000 people with him that he was responsible for. And they're all hollering at him. He tried to do a Nazarite vow thing, and they all, "No, what are you doing? No, I got a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach."
So then he said,
"Okay, well, we'll change a little bit. We'll make it a public thing. We'll invite out some of these Canaanites in the land."
Doesn't make it really big.
He did the same. There's nothing new under the sun. I promise you. So, why did Abraham leave Sychem and go to Bethel? Because he got bored. Why did he build another altar? Try to get blood. He tried to manipulate God.
He ran into Robert Tilton.
Got Tilton. Tilton. No, it was a Canaanite. Bobby Tilton.
Right, little hairdo.
Right. He had a little curly hair.
He
said PepsiCo a lot. God did not appear to him at the second place at Bethel.
Because it was hidden sin in his life.
No.
Oh.
Because he left the place of the revelation. He tried to get more revelation, but God did not appear to him at the second sacrifice. We do the same thing. We remove ourselves out of the circumstances by moving towards Egypt or the world. And God will not reveal himself to us in that position.
So is California the state to be in?
California is really, that's the land of Goshen.
Land of Goshen.
Bethel is 20 miles south of Sychem. It's 10 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, another person would tell you that he's moving towards Jerusalem. I don't think so. Because Jerusalem didn't exist at that time. Now, the reason he went this way, he left Sychem to go to Bethel, is because Bethel is higher. You see? He's going up higher in his high places, going closer. Can see more. In fact, From Bethel, Abraham could see the entire land of Canaan. Perhaps Abraham thought he could see more if he went to Bethel. That's why his reason for leaving. But he left the oak of Morah, or with a rest. He left a Sabbath rest. But Abraham, by the way, Abraham is, in spite of all that, Abraham is the first man in the scripture to call upon the name of the Lord. No matter how many mistakes he made, that act of calling upon the name of the Lord guarantees that he is saved. The act of presenting himself as the living sacrifice guarantees his heritage.
So that's not what Noah did?
No. Noah screwed up constantly.
And Abraham consistently, when he screwed up, he knew he screwed up and said, Lord.
Yeah, Noah moved. Noah wasn't the rest. Noah was the rest, but the rest isn't the revelation. The word Noah means the rest. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Okay? But the rest isn't the answer. The rest is only the place the answer comes from. It's like salvation isn't the goal. Salvation is just the beginning. You can't even get started with God's stuff until you've experienced salvation. You're not saved for, you're saved from the world. That's enough. We'll quit there. Abraham is the first man in the scriptures to call upon the name of the Lord.
Does that mean he